Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 13th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Area newspaper surveys county clerks in Washington and Idaho who handle elections and finds only one, Julie Fry of Latah County, is in favor of Trump's voter suppression bill, otherwise known as the SAVE Act, going through Congress. Reproductive Rights Initiative officially on Idaho's November ballot. New Endangered Species Act habitat rule likely to cause extinctions, and judge rules Tacoma ICE jail must allow state health and safety inspectors inside. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho's Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Initiative has officially made the November ballot. Idahoans United for Women and Families announced the decision Monday afternoon. On July 2nd, organizers turned in more than 110,000 signatures to the Secretary of State's office to get the measure on the November ballot. The group needed signatures from at least 6% of registered voters statewide, plus 6% of the registered voters in 18 out of Idaho's 35 legislative districts to get the initiative on the ballot. Idahoans United for Women and Families says 1,250 volunteers helped collect the signatures in all 44 counties. The Idaho Capital Sun reported previously that 28% of those who signed the petition were registered Republicans, 37% were Democrats, 33% were unaffiliated, and 1% were Libertarians. Idahoans United for Women and Families Executive Director Melanie Falwell said, "We are just immensely proud of the foundation we have built and to continue that outreach into the fall. We have known from early on this issue was deeply personal and had the ability to break through divisive partisan frames we are navigating nationally right now and certainly very accurately here in Idaho. The thing about the Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Act is it speaks to a fundamental Idaho value and a fundamental American value that no matter our own personal beliefs, we ought not impose those on others. When it comes to making the tough decisions in our lives and in our families, we call the shots and not the government. That is something that has resonated in every corner of the state." Polls show about 60% of Idahoans support reversing Idaho's extreme abortion prohibition that makes it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion starting at the zygote stage, with the only exceptions being if the life of the mother is at risk, but not the health of the mother, or in cases of rape or incest, but only if there is a police report in time for the procedure to take place. Penalties under Idaho law are up to 5 years in prison. Much of that would be reversed if voters pass the Reproductive Freedom and Privacy Act, and women would be allowed to make health care decisions up to the point of fetal viability, which is defined as the point in pregnancy when the fetus has a significant likelihood of sustained survival outside of the uterus without extraordinary measures. If passed by 50% of the voters, the state would still be able to regulate abortion after the point of fetal viability, except in medical emergencies. The initiative states a physician's good faith judgment would be used on a case-by-case basis. Idahoans United for Women and Families Executive Director Melanie Falwell spoke to the Moscow League of Women Voters in April while the group was still gathering signatures.
As you all know, babies arrive at unpredictable times, and there are many things that can and do go wrong unexpectedly in a pregnancy. To have adequate OBGYN coverage, you need more than one. Fact, you need at least three, and we are gravely behind in that department. So, what is not included here are the incredibly heartbreaking stories from individual women, individual patients, and their families about what this ban has done to their ability to grow their family, to be pregnant. And in short, what has occurred is very often what is the worst day of someone's life, a very sad day, one of the worst days of their life, has now been made more traumatic, more expensive, more dangerous, drawn out, and wrought with peril because of an overreaching government. I have been pregnant with two lovely children. You know, things go wrong in a pregnancy. There are scary moments where you are headed to the hospital unexpectedly. I do not know anyone who has been pregnant or loved a pregnant person who has said, I'd love to get to the hospital and make sure everything's okay. Could we make a quick call and get Raul Labrador on the phone? Could we pause and could we loop in an attorney? Could we loop in a state legislator? That isn't how medicine works. That is not how being a human being works. But that is the reality that we have created in Idaho. So the stories that this ban has created have been shared with our lawmakers. They are the kind of stories that anyone with a heart, anyone with a conscience would be undone by. They're cruel, senseless, and absolutely fixable. And now, for four sessions, they just sine died again, for four sessions, our legislature has declined to act. In private rooms and closed doors, they will tisk-tisk and clutch their pearls and agree that this is not good, that the doctor shortages and the human suffering is not good, but yet they have not acted.
That was Idahoans United for Women and Families Executive Director Melanie Falwell speaking to the Moscow League of Women Voters in April. The right wing in the legislature plans push back. The Idaho Republican Party approved a resolution at their summer meeting in June to call on the state legislature to repeal the initiative if it passes in November. 16 legislative candidates won Republican primaries in May, saying they would support overturning the initiative even if the majority of Idahoans vote for it. That includes Colton Bennett of Troy, who is running for a House seat in District 6, which includes Latah County. Bennett will face Democrat Trish Carter Goodhart of Lapway in November's election. The group Honor Idaho reports those other candidates are Scott Herndon of Sagal, Jane Sauter of Sagal, Cornell Racer of Coeur d'Alene, Vito Barbieri of Dalton Gardens, Elaine Price, Cindy Carlson of Riggins, Kyle Harris of Lewiston, Christy Zito, Judy Boyle, Camille Blaylock, Kent Marmon, Jeff Cornelius, Jared Crane, Steve Tanner, and Clint Hostetler.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Ungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Ungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at ungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
The Pocatello City Council is hearing an appeal this week on a data center proposal it denied in May. The contentious decision comes as data centers spark more protests in Idaho and across the country. Josh Johnson with the Idaho Conservation League says there's a dark side to data centers that people are starting to recognize. He points to energy use as a major factor contributing to the widespread opposition.
It's not hyperbole to say that the energy use of data centers is unprecedented in terms of the cumulative amount of energy that the data centers will use, but also how much energy a single massive data center can use.
Johnson cites the Stratos Data Center in Box Elder County, Utah. Its developers predict it will need at least 7 gigawatts of energy, which is more than twice the current energy consumption of the entire state. Pocatello's hearing examiner denied a $2.6 billion data center proposal at a former polysilicon plant on May 14th, saying Lex Developments failed to prove the project won't harm the community's health, safety, or welfare. Johnson says water consumption is another major concern with data centers, especially in a dry state like Idaho, which often experiences extreme drought. He says a medium-sized data center can use about as much water as an 18-hole golf course or a large alfalfa field, and newer closed-loop water systems can help reduce that. Idaho's legislature passed a law this session requiring closed-loop systems over evaporative systems, which use less water. Data centers that don't use that type of system must source their cooling water from a municipality or public utility rather than groundwater or a river. Johnson calls it a step in the right direction.
As a starting point, we're glad that there's an interest amongst the state legislature to actually examine this issue. I'm sure they're hearing from constituents across the state, across party lines, about concern about this.
Idaho still offers tax breaks to data centers and advertises the state as an attractive place for data center development. Although legislation to end these incentives failed this year, Johnson hopes to see more of it next session.
We should be not only dialing back the incentives for data centers to come here, because those companies have a lot of money. They can pay their own way if they want to build in Idaho, but then we also need to better regulate them.
Pocatello City Council will hear the appeal for the data center project this Thursday, July 16th. I'm Laura Hatch, Northern Rockies News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
The Pullman League of Women Voters has invited 11 candidates for Congress to a forum to be held tonight at the Pullman Recreation Center on Crestview. The candidates for the 5th Congressional District include incumbent Republican Michael Baumgartner, who is unlikely to attend because Congress is in session this week. The rest of the candidates listed on the Pullman League of Women Voters flyer are Democrats and Independents. The candidates in the race as of the filing deadline in April are Democrats Carmela Conroy of Spokane, Kevin Fagan of Spokane, Richard Freudenberg of Liberty Lake, Bajun Mavawala of Valley, David Womack of Walla Walla, Mike McGar of Spokane, and Mike Gavarecci of Spokane. The five independents in the race are Matthew Hayes of Spokane, Nate Powell of Spokane, Anne-Marie Danimus of Spokane, Kyle Ersey of Spokane, and Andrew Bartleson of Spokane. The forum begins at 6:30 p.m. at the Pullman Recreation Center. Washington's primary is Tuesday, August 4th, which is the last day to submit filled-out ballots at ballot drop-off sites. The Trump Interior and Commerce Departments announced Friday they have finalized a rule that would limit the protection of habitat for endangered species. The departments claim the new interpretation of Endangered Species Act rules is, quote, the kind of common sense and accountability the American people voted for. Observers expect the agencies to publish the new rule in the Federal Register tomorrow. The landmark 1973 law, which has saved numerous imperiled species from extinction, defines a take of a protected species as to harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, capture, or collect, or to attempt to engage in any such conduct with the species. That would include altering or destroying habitat of species protected under the Act, according to interpretations that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service have followed for years. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum claimed in a news release, federal agencies have for years abused the Endangered Species Act to, quote, obstruct lawful land use and burden American families and businesses. Burgum wrote, that approach turned routine activity into a regulatory trap, drove up costs that impacted people's lives, and expanded federal authority beyond what Congress intended. This action restores common sense, respects private property, provides much-needed certainty for landowners, and follows the statute Congress actually passed. speaking to the Lewiston Tribune, law firm Earth Justice senior attorney Ben Levitan said the new interpretations will harm species, especially because it appears to allow developers to harm habitat. Levitan said the entire structure of the Endangered Species Act incorporates this idea that harm is more than just directly killing a member of an endangered species. It includes indirect harm from other activities, and it has to. If people could engage in any activity they wanted to that had any effect on endangered species, as long as it's not direct and intentional, then we have no hope of protecting endangered species. Levitan says Earth Justice plans to challenge the new interpretations. In the past, the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld rules that prevented indirect harm to protected species, such as habitat loss. In 1995, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt on the issue in a spotted owl case brought by the Sweet Home Chapter of Communities for a Great Oregon, landowners, loggers, and the timber industry. The decision was 6-3. Since then, the Supreme Court has shifted to the far right and has been making many decisions that legal observers consider incorrect. In the 1995 decision, Justice Antonin Scalia wrote in a dissent, "Harm should be defined as actions that result in the direct death or injury to individual animals, but not actions that may indirectly kill them." After 3,500 complaints in recent years about unsafe incarceration conditions, U.S. District Judge Benjamin Settle has ordered the GEO Group's ICE Detention Center in Tacoma to allow state health and safety officials to inspect the prison starting July 23rd. Settle's ruling exempts the administrative and medical areas of the prison that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement runs. The Washington State Standard reported Settle wrote in his Thursday ruling, "The state raises compelling concerns for the health and safety of the detainees held at GEO's Tacoma facility. Although they are detained, their welfare remains within the state's purview." Washington Attorney General Nick Brown said the ruling is a resounding win to protect the people held at the detention center. Brown said, "The state has the right to inspect private detention facilities like the one run by GEO and investigate complaints of unsafe and unsanitary conditions." The GEO Group has a record of defying federal court orders regarding the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma. The private Florida-based billion-dollar megacorporation, which is funded almost exclusively by government-private prison contracts, has repeatedly refused demands by the state health department to allow inspectors to examine conditions inside the facility, despite a federal appeals court upholding state law regarding health and safety oversight of prisons. Governor Bob Ferguson said in April, "The law is clear, yet the owner of this facility, the GEO Group, has continued to obstruct our efforts to ensure they are following state law. The GEO Group is not above the law." Settle had previously blocked the state health inspection law in response to a lawsuit by the GEO Group, which led to the federal appeals court decision last year. GEO Group claims its contract with ICE gives the federal agency control over deciding who gets access to the prison. In his ruling last week, Settle noted in the past, GEO Group has allowed Washington Labor and Industries Department inspectors inside the prison without getting approval from ICE. The health department says it has received 3,500 complaints from people held inside the center, most of whom have not committed a crime, but there's no way to investigate the complaints. Detainees have said they have found burned plastic, metal, string, hair, worms, and rope in the food GEO Group serves inside the detention facility. Other complaints concern assault, medical safety, sanitation, and religious service denial. There are two wildfires burning 25 miles apart along the Clearwater River. The Greer Fire started Friday evening and was 456 acres by Saturday afternoon. Officials closed the Greer Raid, the Greer Grade on Idaho State Highway 11 Friday night into late Saturday. The Mile Marker 25 fire near Lenore had burned 18 acres by Saturday morning in a steep area. The Lewiston Tribune reported the fire caused debris and rocks to tumble onto U.S. Highway 12, which caused officials to close the road temporarily. The road was fully open by Saturday evening. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Office has established a be-ready evacuation zone near that fire.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing commerce and community together through business support, local events, and economic development initiatives. 114 South Main Street in downtown Moscow, 208-882-1800, and moscowchamber.com. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Idaho Chapter and Palouse Group of the Sierra Club, which are building a grassroots movement for climate and ecological justice in Idaho. Sierra Club empowers community members of all ages to advocate for clean energy, abundant wildlife, and outdoor access. sierraclub.org/Idaho/Palouse-group.
This is Hell, and I'm the Bitter, Blind, Broke, Gaptooth radio show host Chuck Mertz, who tells you that right here on KRFP, Radio Free Moscow, 90.3 FM, and KRFP.org at 11 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. This is Hell has been manufacturing dissent since 1996, bringing listeners like you the news that scares the news as an alternative to alternative radio, independent from independent media, and KRFP is one of only a few outlets around the world that supports our work. In today's political climate, that support is more important than ever to fight against the damage done by corporate-controlled right-wing media that has taken over the public's airwaves. In the past year, This Is Hell has talked about issues you will not hear on corporate or even public radio, like neoliberalism, feminism, sexism, racism, conservatism, cannibalism, and the meaning of infinity. If that's the kind of programming you want to hear, see you on Sunday morning.
Don't touch that dial.
You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night, so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio. You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Radio,
you got it right.
Community radio. Listen,
and
you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight back radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight back.
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 The Spokesman Review interviewed 8 county clerks and auditors in Washington and Idaho who oversee local elections, and of those 8, only one, Republican Latah County Clerk Julie Fry, said she was in favor of Trump's major voter suppression bill, also known as the Save America Act. Republican Ada County Clerk Trent Triple, who is vice president of the Idaho Association of County Recorders and Clerks, said it's a solution in search of a problem, but it's also creating more problems, quote, that I think are going to hurt our community in the long run. The bill, which has caused Trump to cancel a signing ceremony for a major bipartisan housing bill because the Senate would not vote for it, would require proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote and would subject election workers to criminal penalties if they help a voter register without that proof. The bill is a voter suppression bill because it would require an original birth certificate or a certified copy of a birth certificate or a passport as proof to register to vote, which many otherwise eligible voters do not have. It would also require exact name matches, thus preventing many women who change their name at marriage from voting. Trump has claimed for years without evidence that illegal voting by non-citizens is tipping the scales against supporters of the extreme right. Speaking at Mount Rushmore July 3rd, Trump said if the bill passes, it would guarantee victory for Republicans in November and for many elections to come. Ada County Kirk Triple notes Idaho law already requires voters to show a photo ID that's not a student ID or sign an affidavit attesting to their identity in order to vote. He said, if we catch anybody lying or doing anything wrong, then we prosecute them. But to suggest that this problem rises to the level of completely overhauling how we do things is just absolutely asinine and ridiculous. Triple said, voting by non-citizens is not widespread, noting a survey by Secretary of State Phil McGrain of 1 million voters in Idaho found only one case of a non-citizen voting in the state. A review of Idaho's voter rolls in 2024, prompted by an executive order signed by Governor Brad Little, resulted in the charges against one person, Tino Herman Kleiss, for registering and voting as a non-citizen. Triple said Kleiss had been brought to the United States as a child and thought he was a U.S. citizen. Republican Klickitat County, Washington auditor Heather Job said she was concerned about passing such a voter overhaul so close to the election. Job said, "My general frustration with legislators at both the federal and state level is that the concept people never talk to the boots on the ground folks. If legislators would ever talk to people who do things they legislate about, it might save us all some headache." Lewis County, Idaho clerk Republican Alicia Winner said she is concerned the birth certificate or passport requirement will disenfranchise many voters. Winner said, "My concern would be disenfranchising voters before a big election coming in November if they make it effective immediately due to the elderly population that may have trouble getting those things like a passport or birth certificate." Latah County Clerk Republican Julie Fry said she disagreed with her fellow election officials. She said she supports the Save America Act and thinks it would restore America's faith in the voting systems. Fry said, "We've lost so much trust in our election process, I think we need to do a pretty hardcore reset so that people can once again trust elections." Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. Increasing clouds tonight, low 56, mostly cloudy tomorrow, high 87. Mostly cloudy Tuesday night, low 55. Wednesday, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing, high 89. Mostly clear Wednesday night and Thursday, low 54, high 91. Current temperature is 90 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, is coming up next. That'll be followed by music with Bex live in the studios. Her show's called Spotlight. Chia Pet's on 9 to 11 tonight, and Nardwar is on at 11. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP Moscow is the best in the USA.
Yeah.